The BBC presents My Music, a radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shryan. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Thank you. Another edition of My Music. Same old contestants. In other words, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton competing in musical knowledge against David Franklin and Frank Muir. First round, then, we begin, as always now, with Ian Wallace. Ian, who wrote it, what is it, and, in your case, for a third mark, can you date it?
It's the signature tune of the mounted division of Women's Lib.
How right.
Or? Yes,
or the ride of the Valkyries.
Yes.
Who used to fly through the air with, I gather, the men that they had captured slung across their saddles, uttering wild hoots of laughter and landing with merry gestures on the top of a cliff. And it's by Wagner.
Thank you. Third mark, a rough eye stab at the date.
1880.
Yes. Not really near enough, Ian.
1870.
Yes, that would be a second guess. 2.5 out of 3. 1870 was the date of the first production in Munich. Dennis, here's another kind of ride. Who composed it, and for your other two marks, who were the two band leaders responsible for this version?
You mean that two band leaders got together and did this?
Incredibly, yes. They're not very good at getting together, usually, band leaders.
Really? The American?
Yes. A joint orchestra?
Dorsey. No. No. Sort of Finnegan.
Yes. Do you know their other names?
Ralph Finnegan.
No, actually.
Or Ralph Salter.
That was some other guy.
Yeah,
no. Bill Finnegan. And Eddie Salter. You've got the two anyway. Salter Finnegan and the original composer for your third mark.
The original composer, it was originally a classical or compositional hard bit. but I don't know who... Do you have any idea?
Haven't the slightest
no,
idea.
No,
as Sid Field would have said, written by my good friend Profokeef. was by Prokofiev. Well, you've got 2 out of 3. David, whose overture to what? And again, when was it first heard?
It's Smetana's overture to the Bartered Bride.
Yes. Good.
It took place in Bohemia.
Yes.
And she's sometimes known as the Bohemian Girl by Balf. Or, if you prefer it in French, and who wouldn't, as La Bohème by Puccini or Leoncavallo.
I don't quite know where that leaves us, but... Well, let's just say you were right the first time.
I'm just establishing the ground while I work round to the date.
Yes. Smetana, the overture to the Bartered Bride.
1885.
Not near enough, I'm afraid. 1866, first heard in Prague.
Oh.
So far away, I think I can only give you 2 out of 3.
I'll risk us, don't worry.
Right.
Don't worry.
Frank.
1742.
Frank, this is a song about a big news story. Who was the heroine concerned? What did she do and when?
Since you won the praise of every nation, you have filled my heart with admiration.
Yes.
Amy, as the lyrics, if you listen very carefully, indicated Amy, wonderful Amy. Yes. Amy Johnson.
Yes. What did she do and when?
Well, she flew single-footed to Australia. And when?
Solo flight from London to Australia in 19 and a half days, and the year?
Late 20s.
Very late 20s.
But more or less early 30s.
Yes.
I would think 1931.
No, more like the late 20s than that.
More 1930s.
Yes. Certainly you're near enough, I think, there. You were only a few months away. 1930 was the date, and that was also when Jack Hilton's band made that, I think, rather lovely record. 3 marks out of 3 for Frank. How's your memory for silly songs and their words? We'll find out. Ian, what's a rillerah?
I don't know what a rillerah is, but I know that it is inextricably linked in my mind with a Hutsut Rolson.
Yes, that's right. Well, the middle bit of the song will tell you.
Hutsut Rolson,
the rillerah. The middle bit will tell you.
The middle bit has got the
glossary.
Yes, that's right. The Hutsut is
the rillerah is a stream.
Thank you, one mark for your partner. Yes, the rillerah is a stream in the Hutsut song. Dennis, your turn. What will get in your hair?
Well, there's that man who was washed out of your hair.
That's not. These are silly songs, nonsense songs.
Get in your hair.
It's a thing to beware.
Yes, yeah. The dipsy doodle, you better beware. The dipsy doodle will get in your hair.
Dipsy doodle's a thing to beware. Yes, one mark to you. David Franklin, who eats ivy?
Oh, mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey do, wouldn't you?
A mark for little lambs, and I would. One mark. Frank, what did the little fishy say?
What did the little fishy say? That's the trout by Schubert. Bitte, Papa, kann ich habe eine
Wurm.
You're in the right sort of region.
Eine Wurm.
Baby talk.
The diet of worms.
The first word is swim.
Swim.
Three little fishes in the itty bitty pool. They swim right over the dam.
You haven't got what the little fishes did.
What was the question?
Carried away. What did the little fishy say? I cannot wait over such a trivial matter.
Swim, said the mummy. Swim, said the mummy fish. Swim if you can.
Yes, and they swam and they swam all
right over the dam.
Yeah. I'll settle for swim. Swim if you can. You got it in the end.
Am I satisfied?
Yes. Pete's sake, let's move on. Some general questions about music, a slightly more serious nature, these. Ian.
Oh, good.
Born in Ireland, he's best known as the composer of Maritana. He was a great traveller. In Sydney, he received a fee of 200 sheep for a concert. In Chile, he rode 125 miles in 11 hours with 13 changes of horse in order to keep an engagement to perform, an object lesson to us all, I may add. He courted an Irish nun, married her sister, and he died in the year that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. What was his surname, Ian?
It doesn't matter.
Yes, well, it's we're a large family. We're a very large family. None of us are related. There's Edgar, and he's not related. And then there's Henry, and I'm quite happy he's not related. And there's Sir William. Yes. He's the one we all say, salute. Yeah. But this is Vincent.
William Vincent.
Wallace.
Yes. I'm surprised he's no relation. He looks like you in photographs in musical reference books.
Well, I thought at one time that a very delicate compliment had been paid to me because I was doing a show at the Criterion Theatre, and as I walked down into the theatre, they have various plaques up. And the first one, it's chipped into the stone. And there was this name, Wallace. And I thought, what a nice thing to do. I've never played the theatre before, and they've taken all the trouble. And then I turned the corner, there was Mozart, Wagner...
2 marks to you for William Vincent Wallace. Dennis, where might you find German fingering?
Those sticky thumb marks on a manuscript written by Sir Edward German. could be described as German fingering. And that's a musical answer to a musical question.
I don't see that I'm in any position to deny that.
However,
give him two
the message
two.
Has just come through, and it's quite inexplicable. It's five lines, which are either tram lines or they're like music. What are they called in music? Whatever they're called in music. And after it's got German piano music above that.
Well, I liked your answer better.
You know what? So did I.
Technically more correct. You mentioned the magic word thumb, for which I propose to give you one mark out of two. You'd find German fingering in piano music. Originally, German fingering necessitated calling the index finger one, and then, for some reason, things became reversed, and the British system called the index finger one, and the German system of fingering called the thumb one. And for your word thumb, you get a mark.
Steve, what is the Albert or simple?
Oh, that's a kind of clarinet, and it's probably one of the questions next week.
Thank you.
David, Franklin is Fled Away is the title of a song first printed in 1669. Its tune was similar to a famous national air composed some 50 years before. Can you please sing me the first line of Franklin is Fled Away?
Franklin is fled away.
Yes, you're right. Yes.
What's that?
Same tune as
God Save the King. Incidentally, do you know that way of singing the national anthem? It'd be much funnier if you played it on the piano. In which you start every line on the note that you finish the previous line on, which means you change key every time.
May I try?
Yes, do.
Let's see if I can do it. I hadn't thought of this. This is not rehearsed.
Da 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 dee, da 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 dee, da 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 dee, da 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 da.
Two marks for you, David, for singing Franklin is Fled Away. Frank, how would you describe a Hebrew lyre?
Musical instrument.
Yeah, you're no fool, are you? That's right. Yes.
A nose flute.
Oh, no.
Jew's harp.
Wouldn't like that. No. You've got a mark for harp. A small, ancient harp played with a plectrum. Let's see how we're getting on with the score. Leading by a mere half mark, David Franklin and Frank Muir at the moment. In this next round, you'll hear a snatch of two pieces of music put together. The question is, what's the connection between them? Ian, what's the connection between these two?
Presumably roses.
Yes, more than that. You could go further.
The first piece was Schubert.
Yes.
And I can't...
What sort of a rose was Schubert, was Schwarzkopf singing about?
Well, that's the thing. That eludes me for the moment. I know that McDowell, which was the second, is a wild rose.
Yes, they're both wild roses.
Oh, they're both wild
roses.
Yes,
you get your mark anyway, Ian.
Thank you.
Dennis, here are your two. What's the connection?
Well, they both come from films, except the first one. I think it must be Cats.
That's right, because...
The first one is from Ace of Clubs. It's Chase Me Charlie Over the Garden Wall, and it's sung by a cat about a tomcat. And the other one is, I think Peggy Lee wrote it. It's the Siamese cat theme
song. That's right, yes. That's your mark. David, again, there's a one-word connection between your two, and again, it's natural history. Yes, swans.
First is Sibelius, isn't it? The swan of Tuomela, yes.
That's right. Swan
and the second is the silver swan.
By Orlando Gibbons. Yes, you've got your mark. Frank, in your case, we've removed the key word. So can you supply it?
My right shoe's on my right foot, my right shoe's on my head. Oh, listen to me. Oh, listen and be ready.
The first one was funny little good for nothing.
Yes, sort of.
And the second was tragic little good for nothing. And they're both Mimi.
Yes, Mimi was the removed word. They call me Mimi La Bohème, and my chevalier's Mimi, a mark. This next round will really make things hum, I think. Ian Wallace, for you, for a mark, what is bouche fermée?
Closed mouth, literally, but from a musical point of view, it is that beguiling, slightly adenoidal sound that choirs make, even the chorus in Madame Butterfly may make when they sort of go...
I had a bet on with the producer that for once you would reply, humming.
Well, no, you lost.
Well, you meant humming, didn't you?
Of course.
You have a mark for saying that bouche fermée means humming. So the subject is humming. Dennis, one song that involved humming was in a Billy Rose show called Sweet and Low. Title, please, and year of publication from these first three notes.
Would you like to take a walk?
Yes. You've got that for a mark, half a mark. And the date, year of publication.
He died in 1960, roundabout, didn't he, Billy Rose? And he started with Barney Google back in the 20s.
You're getting a circumlocutious...
I know. Well, people do 30s. When they don't know the answer. it's about 1936.
Well, 1930. Since there's only half a mark at stake, I think I must give you that. David, forgetting anything you may have heard observed by Ian in the last few minutes, where does this humming come from?
It's from what used to be at the first production of Butterfly, the middle of the second act, but is now the end of the second act, because after the first performance it was made into a three-act opera.
Mark. Frank, still on the subject of humming, can you oblige us, please, with a little, perhaps, of one of the hums of Pooh?
Winnie the...
Yes, Winnie the...
Oh, Winnie the Pooh hum.
Well, it's one of the hums of A.A. Milne, but not one of the hums of Pooh.
Oh.
I'm afraid. There's the more it snows, tiddly-pom. Or three cheers for Pooh, for who?
But they're not hums, they're lyrics.
Oh, no, they're known as hums. Next round. Simple question, unmarked, therefore. Who is it I'm describing? Ian, born in Southport in the 1850s, wrote Flora Dora, Little Dolly Daydream, Soldiers of the Queen, Lily of Laguna. His real name was Thomas Barrett. What was his professional name?
Oh, Leslie Stewart.
That's a quick answer. One mark for you, Leslie Stewart. For saying Leslie Stewart. Dennis, he was born in Liverpool in 1932, the son of a coal merchant. In 1965, he sold 1 million records with a song originally recorded by Rudy Vallée in 1929. As an extra clue, his teeth are insured for £10,000. Who is he?
It must be Ken Dodd.
Ken Dodd, yes. David, this is an operatic lady and an extraordinary one. Her real name was Kittel or Krittel. She sang centre in the first Flying Dutchman. She was the first Salome in Berlin, the first Tatiana, the first Butterfly, Tess and Minnie. She accepted £2,500 to appear in a film called The Lion's Bride, in which she sang to 11 lions in a cage, accompanied at the pianoforte by the Lady Lion Tamer. Extraordinary woman. Can you tell me her name?
Wait a minute. She sang centre in the first Dutchman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's 1840-odd.
No.
Say 45.
No. Now, something's wrong about this.
Yeah.
Something's wrong about this. Let's just settle for saying she was the first Salome.
No, let us go into this flying...
Or give it full marks.
She sang centre...
If she sang in the first Dutchman in 1845...
Maybe she didn't sing centre, she sang outside right.
And she also sang the first Butterfly, which is 1904... Assuming that she was 20 when she sang the first centaur in The Flying Dutchman, that means she was born in 1825, and she therefore sang the part of the first Butterfly at the age of 79. She was working well.
It was... Yes.
Was she, in fact, Emmy Destin?
Thank you, yes.
She was well known as being a good centre, but she can't have sung the first one.
No. Destin over, her alternative name, 1878, St. John's Day dates, to 1930. Interesting woman. One mark. Frank, she was born in Surrey in 1932, first sang in public at the age of 9, became a child actress before she was known as a singer, married a Frenchman...
For a bonus mark. Anticipating the question.
Anticipating the interesting parts of the question, actually, but go on.
No, you go, carry on.
Well, she sold 2 million records of a song called Monsieur, and since then there have been at least 4 separate million sellers for her.
Her name? Petula Clark.
Yes, it was Downtown that sold over 3 million copies globally. Incredible number. One mark. This final round concerns some of the songs of Noel Coward. Ian, usually it's your turn first, but in this case, I'm coming back to you at the end of the round for some of that lovely singing of yours. So stand by as we begin with Dennis. Dennis, bearing a certain song in mind, what happens each day at noon in Bangkok?
In Bangkok at 12 o'clock, they foam at the mouth and run. Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun.
Shall we hear an alternative version by the master?
Well, right.
In Bangkok at 12 o'clock, they foam at the mouth and run.
Now, what you have to guess is which one was me.
2 marks. David, who is weaving love into a mad jazz pattern? Yes, you got it. I heard you whisper it.
Poor little rich girl.
Don't drop a stitch.
Let's hear it sung by Frank Muir.
You're weaving love into a mad jazz pattern ruled by pantaloons.
Now the Noel Coward version.
Oh, little rich girl, don't drop a stitch. Me.
2 marks to David. Frank, your question. Whose bust size precludes a thespian career?
Miss Worthington.
Yes. Or, as Noel Coward himself puts it,
she has nice hands to give the wretched girl her due, but don't you think her bust is too developed for her age? No more buts, Mrs. Worthington. Nuts, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage.
Yes. So now finally back to you, Ian. And the answer, please, in song, When Will I See You Again?
Whenever spring breaks.
Can I oblige you with a small chord? In what I think may be your key.
I'll see you again whenever spring breaks the rule again. Time may lie heavy between, but what has been is past forgetting. This sweet
And there, I'm afraid, another edition of My Music must end. It's a victory by 1.5 marks for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were David Franklin, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the programme was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan.